One more thing, because I did just preach this message a few moments ago, but I told them over there, started off with a little story. I told them, I said, as we get started this morning, this is verbatim. As we get started this morning, today seems like a great day to let everyone know that I went to a Billy Graham crusade when I was a teenager. The man spoke for about 10 minutes and about 3,000 people were saved. Isn't that something? You guys ever witnessed anything like that? It's unreal. It's incredible. People were saved, and I told that story to let them know that I was going to be holding to a tight 10 to 15 minute sermon so I could get over here to South Wilson. And they were all like, are you kidding? Because Scott preaches, doesn't he, Zach? Zach times it out every week, like 70 minutes. But that's a joke. That's a joke. Let's go. Come on. Hey, that's a joke. But either way, I want to ask you a question. Don't you just love a good story? Yeah, I know I sure do. No matter how many times I get roped into the storyline, I can just sit there and lose myself watching the journey of two stalwart friends on a whirlwind big city adventure as they traverse to rescue a princess from the highest room in the tallest tower. There is action, there is comedy, there is romance, there are dragons, and there are fairy tale creatures. It almost gives me this sense of this sort of escapism. I'm talking, of course, about the movie Shrek. My guy. For many, maybe your favorite stories are stories of victory. Maybe they're stories of perseverance, or maybe he wins her heart. Or maybe you're one of those who, like my wife, who sits over here with me today, she would admit that even though every, and I do mean every, storyline is the same, she loves to get lost in the Hallmark Christmas movies. Those are all stories. Maybe you are a story reader, like my brother Jonas. Jonas is a reader, for those of you that don't know that. Maybe you're a story reader and not so much a story watcher. First, my confession to you would be that from my perspective, that your desire to read puts on full display an intellect far superior to mine. But nonetheless, maybe you are a reader who goes on your adventures by way of a good book. The point is made that most of us would agree that we like a good story. And why are we like that? You see, stories, they allow us to understand. They allow us to empathize with others at times, and believe it or not, stories help us learn. Today, I am blessed with the opportunity to kick off our new series that will run throughout the summer on the parables of Jesus. Now, I say this with full confidence. You guys look like a pretty sharp congregation, but I'm going to ask this. We all know what a parable is, right? Yeah? Some of you do have a dazed and confused look on your face when I ask that, but So I do want to ask this just to hear you reply. What is a parable? Story. I knew it. Jonas, they're sharp, bro. Boy, you got a good crew over here. Parables, in the context of Jesus' teaching, parable is an earthly story, right, with a heavenly meaning. They are typically short stories that are comparative. Jesus teaches lessons using stories that are relatable not only to the people that he was with at the time, but to us today. Amen? Today, we're going to see how the parable or the story of the sower can be applied to our lives. One more confession to make. I toyed around with the idea. This is serious, so I don't expect a laugh unless you just really think it's funny. I toyed around with the idea of just explaining how difficult I felt like it was to preach on a story that Jesus told, and was going to just say something to the effect of, well, nobody tells it better than Jesus, just read it and offer an invitation and then be done. But here we are. So I believe honestly that the Lord has a word for each of us today. And I say that because I know what he has opened me up to as I've been preparing over the last several days. So if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 13? I'll give you just a moment to turn there. You can also use your cell phone or iPad, whatever you have, just Matthew chapter 13. We're going to jump around just a little bit, but in a matter of two blocks, and we're going to read these in two blocks of verses 1 through 9 and then verses 18 through 23. If you were there, would you stand with me as we read the parable of the sower? That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Great crowds were gathering about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, they were scorched. Since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And here's a line that Jonah said earlier in verse 9, "He who has ears, let him hear." I want you to pay attention to that. He who has ears, let him hear. If you would now jump down to verses 18 through 23, Jesus goes on to explain the parable here. And he says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word," what's it say? He immediately falls away. "As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but he cares of the world and the deceitfulness, but the cares of the world, sorry, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. So I would like to think that after hearing the short parable of the sower and then Jesus' explanation of it, you could see my struggle, where I was like, well, I can't add anything to that. Just a big old country boy. What can I say to drive home what Jesus has said here? Well, it comes back to me. I kept having this thought. Do we actually have ears that hear? Do we actually have ears that hear? Or are we listening with hard hearts? Are we listening to understand? Or is it just foolish talk that makes no sense, so we don't want to take time to figure it out? If you are a note taker, I left the sheet blank because I was really unsure how I was going to end up structuring the sermon. But this is where, if you write down points, my first point here would be, hear to understand the word of the kingdom. Let me repeat that. We should hear to understand the word of the kingdom. Jesus finishes up the telling of the parable in verse 9 by saying, "He who has ears, let him hear." How many of you in this room have ears? I was going to say, White, you better raise your hand. I see you out there. Well, I have ears, right? And I can assure you that my bride would agree that I don't always listen to hear, right? I don't always take time I don't take time to understand what is really being said or what is really needed as a response. And then sometimes I just don't hear at all. But this isn't the type of hearing, I know it's relatable to us, this isn't exactly the type of hearing that Jesus is talking about. Jesus is speaking to the ones who had not hardened their hearts. Here he is differentiating between two different groups of people. Those who hear and understand, in other words, the ones who see and perceive, right? and those who hear but will never understand, or see and never perceive. Two different groups of people. That is what he is drawing out. He is speaking to those who want the mysteries of the kingdom revealed to them and those who don't. Is that making sense? Side note, just so we're all clear, because I was typing this thing out and working a lot of different things, it was about this point when I realized that I didn't lay out the connotations here, what the parable of the sower, what these actually represent. So when we say, when I say the sower, who are we talking about? Jesus is the sower, right? When I say the seed, what is the seed? The word of God, or the word of the kingdom, as it's referred to many times in the parable here. And then what is the soil? It's the condition of our hearts, right? All right, I just wanted to stop there and make sure that we were all on the same page. Knowing this, I like to process it a little different, understanding that hearing is actually involuntary. Did you know that? And I asked the Springfield Road Campus this, how many of you have ever heard a car horn honk? Yeah, I pointed out that one of my favorite things that my wife loves that I do to her is that every time she walks in front of my vehicle, I honk the horn. That is an involuntary hearing of a car horn to her. I don't think she listens to that to understand that I'm honking a horn, right? So hearing is involuntary. Listening is actually the form of processing what you are hearing and then responding accordingly. We see those differences, right? And why are they like that? Why are there those that will hear and not understand, or see and not perceive? We can look back starting in verse 19 of Matthew chapter 13. Let's look at that. Verse 19, it says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path." So when I ask the question, why are they like that? We see here that there is no root. If we move on to verse 20, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it. And 21 says, "Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulations or persecutions arise on account of the word, immediately he falls away." Why are they like that? There is no what? There is no root. In verse 22, "As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful." In this case, the root is being choked out. It's uncultivated, and it proves unfruitful. So I would say that's a big strike three in my book. This one is also a root problem. Not that the root is non-existent, but it's not deep enough and it's not strong enough to overcome the thorns. So how do we fix the problem? How do we fix the root problem that plagues us? And I want to be very clear about something, because this is a very serious issue. This root problem is in the church. All morning long, this isn't in my notes, so we're gonna see how this comes out. Forgive me, Jonas, if I say something bad. I don't know what it'll come out like, because sometimes I stutter over my words. But all morning long, I kept having this thought. I saw everybody in the congregation, and it's me too. But guys, they're talking about us. This word is talking about us. We hear and we don't understand. We hear and we don't let the roots grow deep. Or we see and we don't quite perceive. This isn't something that I'm talking about the people driving down South Wilson Road. I'm talking about the folks that are sitting right here. I believe God's word for us today is very much in line with, it's us. We have the root problem, so how do we fix it? This problem that plagues the church. How do we cultivate and create a heart that desires the revelation or the revealing of the kingdom word in us. You have to allow the word of the kingdom to take root in your heart. That was hard, wasn't it? So we just say, yeah, I allow you. That's point number two. We want to allow the word of the kingdom to take root in our heart. And I do have the note here. That's supposed to be simple, right? On paper it is. I assure you it's easy to write out. I promise you it's easy to say with your mouth. But to live it, it's not. I am blessed to be part of a really solid discipleship group of men that have just a handful of us, about five or six of us, that hold one another accountable. We pray for each other. We love each other. We add depth to each other's lives. Just yesterday, we were having some discussions that allowed me to see firsthand what it looks like to allow the word of the kingdom to take root in our hearts. And even further, to create and cultivate hearts that desire continual revelation of kingdom, not only the kingdom word, but kingdom work. We talked about our faith and what it means to have faith and how you continue to show up even when you don't feel the hype or the emotional highs. We differentiated between faith and what it means to believe in something and the call of action that is associated with believing. We talked about this very parable and shallow roots. And at that time, I wasn't even paying attention to the spiritual discipline that was us meeting together at 7 a.m. at a Cracker Barrel to love each other, to live out our faith with each other, and to lead each other. You see, when you allow the word of the kingdom to take root in your heart, you are saying yes to God. Are we awake? Amen. When you allow it to take word in your heart, you're saying yes to God. You are saying, yes, God, I want more. I want more of you. I want to know the mysteries of the kingdom. God, reveal yourself to me. But I want you to hear me say this. When you say yes to God, you are saying no to something else. Yeah, that's a big uh-oh for a lot of us, isn't it? I made the point that it was difficult for me to get up at 6:15 after being up late for my 7 a.m. D group breakfast. Man, I could have hit that snooze and just stayed in bed for another 2 or 3 hours. It would have been great. But we collectively, it wasn't just me, we said no to sleeping in, and we said yes to God. And when I said that out loud this morning, I thought, man, that sounds petty, doesn't it? Sleeping in. We like to sleep, don't we? How many times has sleep affected your prayer life? How many times has, man, I've had a long day today. I don't feel like praying. I'll get you in the morning, God. And guess what never comes? Not that you die, right? Because we're all still here. It's hard to circle back around to that, isn't it? But let me tell you this little nugget. When I think back in my life, there's never been a time, not once, have I ever regretted saying yes to God. Now, I would be lying if I haven't been terrified at times of saying yes to God, or even been hesitant on the front end, but God has never let me down. And you know what? He never will. My saying yes, this is a fact. My saying yes to God has led me to this very moment right here, right now. This very moment that I could have never dreamed up in a month full of Sundays. But the message isn't about Luke. It's not about me. It's not about my D group buddies. I'm simply trying to make a point that allowing the word to take root in your life will take work on your end. It's not a sign on the dotted line and everything is going to be fine. We're going to be taken care of. It will require spiritual disciplines. It will require prayer. It will require your time. It will require you showing up even when you don't feel like it. It will require you doing the work and showing up even when that emotional high isn't present in your life like it was back then. Oh boy, I could chase a rabbit right here, especially with you guys, in a good way. Guys, you're getting ready to embark on a journey. There's going to be highs and there's going to be lows. There's a part of me that wishes that I could go on it with you. God hasn't called me to apply here, at least yet. There's going to be highs and there's going to be lows. Y'all understand? But when the rubber hits the road, are you going to show up? Are those roots deep enough that you're going to show up even when it hurts? Even when it doesn't feel like the legacy church anymore. Oh, man. We're floating in uncharted territory here, guys. It's going to be weird. But I promise you one thing. God is there. He will be there, and he will not let you down. I'm excited for you guys. That wasn't in my notes. Just put on my heart. So, I'm taking to the bridge of a song, Waymaker. We all know it. You've done it here many times. And it says this, even when I don't see it, what does it say? You're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Let me tell you guys something. God never stops working. He never stops working. And if you feel like he has stopped working, my suggestion to you would be that you check your soil. The rhyme is there. You can also check your oil, all that stuff. I had to get that out. I'm a fixer by nature, so I'm always checking in on things. And so that's why the last time I preached, I don't think I brought this message here, but I was big on checking your clothes because you want to make sure that you're seeing what you're putting on every day. That's spiritually, right? So we have then talked about the seed that fell along the path that had no root and the seed that fell on the rocky soil that had no root. And we talked about the seed that presented the root. It gets choked out by the thorns that represent things of this world. Now we get to the good soil. We get to that chapter 13, verse 23 soil that we all want to be, right? Let's read. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Guys, when we hear to understand the word of the kingdom, we will allow the word of the kingdom to take root in our hearts, and we will then bear fruit. Let me say that again. When we hear to understand the word of the kingdom, we will allow the word of the kingdom to take root in our hearts, and we will then bear fruit. Amen. Y'all doing great. Stay with me. Just a little bit longer. We bear fruit when these line up in our lives, when all of these things line up in our lives. Jesus makes the point in the parable of the sower, the story of the sower, that the last seed fell on good soil and the yields were significant. When we apply this to our lives today, we see this as the one who is committed to being good soil. The one who hears or listens to understand, whose growth and fruit, or rather, we should say, the ones who have the outward actions being the result of the condition of the heart, those are plentiful. Those fruits are plentiful. All right, so I want to run these back real quick before we jump into where the rubber hits the road here even more for us. We need to hear to understand, amen? Because when we hear to understand the word of the kingdom, it allows it to take root in our hearts, and then we will bear fruit. Now, here's where I want to get real. It's where the air gets sucked out of the room. You've heard the story or the parable of the sower. Now, what type of soil are you? What is the condition of your heart? Are you without seed completely, or without the kingdom word completely, because the evil one has snatched it away from you, because there is no root? There's no depth? Or maybe your soil has some rocks in it. Maybe you got saved and you hit the emotional highs and there wasn't enough of a root system to keep you on that mountain. So you've fallen away. Or here is where I had to study my heart. Is my soil riddled with thorns? Is my fruit choked out by worldly riches and the deceit that the world offers? You see, when we look at this third soil, I would like to think that we all get a little uncomfortable. The first two are pretty evident, right? Yeah, we know. Either you're without the word, you know that. Oh, man, I got saved, but I'm not where I was, not where I want to be. But the third soil gets me. Is that me? I think we should all be a little uncomfortable when we ask, am I saying yes to anything over God? When I say anything, I mean anything. Petty things like sleep. Not only that, am I teaching my kids? I don't know how many of you guys have kids in here. I got four babies. But not only that, am I teaching my kids that anything is a priority over God? Oops. What's on display in your lives? It's not for me to answer. Only you could do that. Let God work in your life and cultivate you and bring that up. Show you those things that you're saying yes, that you're putting above Him. So I ask again, what's on display in your life as those thorns slowly grow upward and choke out your fruit? And then lastly, my good soil folks, I just want to say bless you. I know you're out there. I know there is fruit in your life and your faith is evident and you remain in the Lord for the long haul. My encouragement to you is to remember no one is exempt from the fiery arrows of the evil one. And second, I want to encourage you to be investing in others. I want you to bring in the harvest while you're bearing the fruit. As I land the plane today, I want to encourage you to not let the parable of the sower just be a short story that's told by Jesus. I want to encourage you to let it come to life in you. I want you to listen to understand. I want you to have ears that hear. I want you to let it take root. And then I want you to bear fruit. I want the worship team, you guys can head up as I pray. A couple other things to take care of today. If you guys would, bow with me. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Father, as I prayed earlier, I pray that you are, in fact, meeting us exactly where we are. I pray as you move in and out of these seats and these rows, that you bring to life the parable of the sower in each person here today. God, give them insight to the type of soil they are. God, the condition of their heart. Father, call them to repent. And Father, move in a mighty way today. God, we love you and we praise you. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.